Turn to another psalm. I love these psalms. I don't know how many sermons I've preached out of the psalms over these few years that I've been in this world, but there's quite a few. And, it's always been a blessing. You can just preach them over and over and over again. Old Paul Mahan asked his daddy Henry one time, when he first started preaching, he said, "Dad," he said, "how many times would a preacher preach, say the same sermon?" And he said, "Son, as many times as God leads you there. As many times as God leads you there." And that's so. I mean, you know, we sing the same old songs, don't we? We do. We sing the same old hymns, seem like all the time. That's okay. We enjoy them, you know. They're a blessing to us. Well, preaching's about the same way. We preach the same old thing over and over and over again. And I don't think God's people ever get tired of you. Always something new. If it's old, it's still something new, isn't it? Well, this Psalm 18, that's where I'm going, Psalm 18. And this is a relatively long psalm, about 50 verses. And so we won't get to it all. We'll get to some high spots here. That's what I want to try to do this morning. I titled this thing, A Tale of Life. A tale of life. I could put it a story of life. But a tale of life. And this psalm presents to us the tale of the life of David, really. He sketches this thing out. We called him the royal poet. He had a way with words, didn't he? Inspired of the Lord? Sure he was. But he was a brilliant fellow also. He was able to write songs. Over and over and over, he kept writing songs and expressing himself in those psalms. But he sort of sketches in a few outlines the tale of his own life, I think, here in Psalm 18. Actually, he was inspired with this song back in 2 Samuel. So we read it twice in the scripture, don't we? Read over there where he was first inspired to write it, and then we read it again when he put it in a song and placed it in the Psalms. But anyway, he reflects on the record of his many deliverances and the victories which Jehovah had given him. You know, we can do that, folks. You know, we talk about salvation. Folks look at salvation as a one-time thing. But not so. Not so. It's a many times thing. How many times have we been saved out of difficulties? We had to go to the Lord and plead with God to help us out of this thing. We couldn't get out of the situation. It was just overwhelming us. And we were drowning in the sorrow of it. And we just had to have some help. And we cried out to the Lord. And we cried. Sometimes it's just one word. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And all of a sudden, there he is. There he is. There he comes, our great Savior, and delivering us out of the circumstance of the situation we found ourselves in. And I think he reflects on this in this psalm here and records those many deliverances, many salvations, and victories which Jehovah had given him. And, of course, a record also of his own heart. Its affection towards God is expressed immediately in this psalm. He starts right off the bat. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And that's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? I will. By thy great power, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. But anyway, this the translators of the Word of God and the translators of this psalm here, they put it like this, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of Aholah, all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. And he said this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He goes on. The Lord is my rock. It's the same word that's translated strength in that first verse there, rock. And says, and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, there it is again, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? That's a mouthful. He said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And he is, isn't he? He is worthy to be praised. All power and all glory, all honor, all belong unto the Lord. Oh, my soul. How could we ever find an end for praise to him? He goes on and says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death surrounded me, encompassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Yeah, made me afraid. Have you ever been sort of terrified of what seemed to be encroaching upon you, what seemed to be coming upon you in some way of affliction, of a trial? And you just shake, you remember shake, terrified. And so it's not an uncommon thing with God's people. Sometimes we like to be a little bit too much macho, don't we? I can handle this all by myself. No, you can't. Just can't do it. You've got to have God there. Every time something arises, you've got to have God to come and as your great Savior, your great deliverer. He's got to come and deliver you up out of the situation, whatever that situation is. And, you know, in these days and times, I don't know what we're going to face out here. We're going to face some things. We're going to learn that if we don't have God, we don't have any hope, no help whatsoever to get out of it. We certainly are. We don't know what's going to take place out here, do we? Are you so sure that you got this thing all in control, that you're not going to have the Lord? I hope you're not. I hope you're not. We need him every moment of every day. And so, keep that in mind. He goes on and says, the sorrows of death compassed me, surrounded me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell, he says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me, went before me, and it was just something all the time. By distress, he says, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook. Here's an answer to prayer here. You don't realize what God does when he comes to you, when you're in a circumstance or a situation that you just cannot handle yourself, and you're on your face before the Almighty God, pleading with him, God, I need help. I need help. Oh, Lord God, I've got to have some help and some strength that I don't have except you come, and that you strengthen me in this situation. He said the earth shook. Yeah, you don't feel it shaking, but the earth, God's coming down, and he's shaking the earth. The power of God is being revealed, mightily so, in whatever that circumstance may be. And sometimes we don't recognize it, but God's moving. God's having his way in behalf of you and coming down as your deliverer, his child. He goes on and says, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved. and were shaken because God himself was wroth. He says, then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Devoured what? Devoured whatever the enemy had brought into your life and threatened you with, whatever it was, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens. He bowed the heavens. Think about that. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He says, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Oh, my. What a thought here. What a thought that ought to get over our hearts and encourage us and make us realize when we pray, when we truly pray, when we pray in the Spirit of God, God moves. God does something. God comes. When you cry out, help me, O Lord, God is, our God is coming to the rescue. He's coming. And so he wrote this out of his own heart and experience. And the integrity of purpose by which it had ever been influenced, David is expressing here. And throughout David's checkered life, haunted as he had been by Saul before he came to the throne. You read the life of David. You know how constantly he was fleeing from Saul. Had absolutely no reason whatsoever for Saul to threaten him as he did and to pursue him as he did. But David was always on the run, always fleeing, always fleeing. Could not enjoy life like you and I enjoyed. Why? Because Saul was constantly seeking to destroy him. And he hid in caves and in the crags of the rocks in Judea, and constantly fleeing from Saul. Well, we're fleeing from our enemy, aren't we? Saul was a type of the wicked one, the evil one. A good picture of the evil one and how that he pursues his God's people, seeking constantly their destruction. Every day we live. If you're a child of God, if you are a child of God, sold out to the Lord, determined to honor your God, you've got an enemy that seeks every way in this world to disturb you and to distance you from your trust in the Almighty God. Oh, he was harassed perpetually after he became king by rival nations, constantly harassed by rival nations. Never had peace much. David didn't. He never had much peace in his life. Always fighting, always fighting. And one psalm says, Lord, you've taught my fingers how to war, how to fight. You've taught me, O Lord God, how to use a weapon against those that pursue my life. And he was constantly thanking God even for that. Oh, yeah. And these rivals disputed his authority and endeavored to steal away the hearts of the people from the anointed king that God had placed over them. Even down to his own son, down to Absalom, his son, when Absalom sought to take the throne away from the father. That must have been a terrible thing. David, he loved his children. He loved Absalom. And here Absalom becomes his number one enemy and seeks to win the hearts of the people away from his father and to dethrone God's anointed one. Isn't that awful, isn't it? I knew a fella, he's gone to be with the Lord now, very faithful man, faithful to the gospel, faithful to the Almighty God and all of his ministry. And I knew him real well, and he finally got up in age and to the point in life that he thought it'd be better that he might dismiss himself from the ministry and pastoring that church that he pastored about 50, 60 years and had raised up a boy, a son, that He had turned the church over to the boy, claimed that God had called him to preach and minister. But as soon as he had divorced himself from the ministry of that church, this young man began to try to take the church in a different direction, away from the doctrines that the church had been founded on under the ministry of his father. He did. And after a while, when his father saw things changing, like they were changing, he encroached the boy and talked to him about the matter. And he rejected his father's and his father's wisdom and his father's encouragement to desist from what he was doing. And after a while, the father said more and more to him about, this is not right. This is not where this is not what I established the church on, and this is not the direction you need to take these people. And after a while, he banded together a few men in the church that also agreed with him against his father, and asked the man to completely leave the church. And Steve, the fella, knew him very well, as I said. He died separated from the people of God that he had ministered to all those many years because of that son. That'd be an awful thing. It'd be a terrible thing. And I thought about that when I sang about David and what Absalom did to him. He compelled him to fly for his life before he's in this situation here, and engaged afterwards in a long and fierce wars with foreign nations. That was David. One thing had never forsaken him, and that was the love and the presence of Jehovah. And so he says in this verse 1, starting out here, he said, I will love thee, O Jehovah. I will love thee, my strength. And so he based this psalm on his love and dedication, devotion to the Almighty God. And so by his divine intervention, he knew he had subdued every enemy that had faced him over the years, even down to his old age. Looking back with the devout thankfulness on the past, he sings this psalm. He sings this psalm, this great song of praise to the God of his life. And so that's what I thought about here and trying to deal with this. And there's a few things here that he seems to speak to each and every one of us, and in a way that, you know, we're one with David in this psalm. If you're God's child, you're one with precious David in this psalm. Psalm 103 sort of fixes at least the first six lines of that psalm, and it's somewhat one of my favorites. And it joins perfectly with Psalm 18. And it begins with this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Another psalm of David. How often I've used that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." A lot of times that's my waking prayer and praise when I wake in the morning. I say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," I cry, "and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. "Who forgives your iniquities." Isn't that a wonderful thought? "Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Precious, isn't it? "Who satisfies your mouth with good things. And so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed." Talking about his children. He said, for all those. So this psalm reaches down here to us, doesn't it? These words reach down this morning to you and you and you, to all you who believe and trust entirely upon the Lord. Oh, how we must how we must be thankful for this. So here in Psalm 18, we have these innumerable benefits that he talked about in Psalm 103 in that language. And you know, observe also in verse number 1, the word my there. And this my, these my's are all the way down through the psalm here as we read it. He talks about my strength. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He goes on and said, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. You believe this? All these my's are you and me. We who believe and rest in the Lord, they're ours. Adopt them. Hold on to them. Embrace them. Why you say that, Pastor? Because he's speaking with covenant language here. We're in covenant with the Almighty God. And because, as we read in the Hebrew letter, when God made promises to Abraham, he says because he could swear by no greater, he swore to himself, or by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you, I will multiply you. And so he's talking about covenant relationship here. He's my strength. He goes on and says, he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. There it is again. He's my strength again, my rock, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies, or from mine enemies, he says. It goes on. It goes on with this exhorting you and I to join him in this praise. So David, as he was dwelling among the rocky crags of the mountains of Judea, had escaped the malice of Saul, and he compares his God to such a place of contentment and security. He does. And so believers are often hidden in their God from the strife of tongues and the fury of the storm of trouble. The cleft of the rock of ages surely is our safe abode, isn't it? Our Lord said this in John, in the Gospel of John. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Well, you're in trouble a lot, many times, and circumstances you absolutely can't get out of. And you cry to the Lord. You cry to the Lord. Never doubt. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Listen for his return voice. He'll speak to you. He will. He'll respond to your cry. And you'll pick it up in the Word of God. And be encouraged through the inspired scripture. It goes on and says, and I know them, and they know, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life. I like this. And they shall never perish. And they shall never perish. Never one. If you've come to close with Christ in this matter of salvation, and in your heart of hearts, you have that assurance that Christ has heard your cry, heard your voice. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you'll never, never, ever perish. Neither shall any man or any creature pluck you out of my hand. He said, my Father, which gave my people to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he says, I am my Father are what? Are one. One. One and the same. Well, he says in the next statement here, my deliverer. You know, that's synonymous with my Savior. That's interposing and intervening in my hour of peril, whatever it is. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. You know, when almost captured, the Lord's people are rescued from the hand of the mighty by him who is mightier. Always. See, it's just as all of a sudden he intervenes and he interposes for us and he reaches in wherever the circumstance is, and we feel like we're going to be swallowed up by the enemy, and God just jerks us out of the presence of that vicious, wicked one, and we're delivered. He says in Psalm 15, this is one of my favorites, verse 15. He says, and called upon me in the day of trouble. Are you listening? Called upon me in the day of trouble. You got trouble? You've had trouble? You've seen the delivering hand of God in the past? Do you think he'll forsake you today? No, sir. He says, called upon me in the day of trouble. And there'll be many days like this. Trouble. Trouble on every hand. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? Well, we'll pray. We'll call upon the name of the Lord. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. That's what it's all about. He loves to deliver because he gets the glory. He gets the praise. And so David makes this so clear to us. In Psalm 15, verse 15, another psalm. Psalm 91, verse 15. He says, he shall call on me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I had a dear brother called me yesterday, and without a pastor for a long time, and the men in the church are taking their turns and going into the pulpit and trying to minister to the church. And he said, Brother Terry, I need you to pray for me. It's my turn. It's my turn to try to take the word of God and encourage the people. He says, and I need prayer. And I did pray for him. He said, pray for me. He says, I'm going to try to preach Psalm 91. And I said, well, God will be with you, and God will bless you. And so I tell you what, I said, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Because we're always in need of one another's prayers. And God will hear us, and God will bless us, and God will do the work. And so it is. David believes that in all future conflicts, his God would deal as well with him as he had in the past. And we ought to keep that in mind. If God did it yesterday, he'll do it again today. You think that? You believe that? He surely will. And should not we, with David, believe such? Are we not in covenant with the same immutable God? We are. I am the Lord, he says in Malachi. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons and your son of Jacob, if you believe, if you are resting in Christ, therefore you sons of Jacob shall not be destroyed. No way. No way. He says, David said, he says, if I feel that I can and do bless the Lord for all his past goodness, I should behold, should be bold to ask greater things of him today, whatever the day might bring. You know, the number one lesson I think that David teaches us in this psalm is constant thanksgiving for our Lord's great deliverances. He said in Psalm 3 in verse number 8, he said, salvation is of the Lord. That's in every circumstance. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's so. He goes on and says, and everywhere we find him giving to the Lord of the glory of the salvation wrought for him, we find him owning God in every way. So he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my rock, my God, and in him will I trust. He's my shield, he says. And could you ask for much more? Or anything more. the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. On and on and on. My. Covenant language. Own him, my dear ones. Own him as your own. As he owns you. Own him. You know, the psalm was inspired, essay of David, in Psalm, or in 2 Samuel 22. And in verse number 32 of that passage of Scripture, he said this, "For who is God save the Lord, save Jehovah? Who is a rock save our God?" A rock. You know, he talks about the rock being a hiding place from the fierceness of the storm, being a hiding place. I'm reminded of how Augustus Toplady wrote that great hymn, the rock is his hiding place. And he was caught in a storm. I think the story goes, he was caught in a terrible, he was out walking, and just a kind of an exercise walk, and all of a sudden this terrible storm came up upon him and broke upon him. He was trying to find refuge. And he found refuge between two pillars, two stone pillars. And he got between those pillars, and he stayed in the storm out as it did whatever damage it was going to do, and finally moved on. You know, we were caught in a storm this past Thursday night. We went over to Oxford and came back with Sam's. Pick up a few things for the church, a few things for us. And I saw Patsy and the little granddaughter, Annabelle, was shopping around, but I had found a place to park the car, and the rain had just started. But I'd been watching this storm back towards Birmingham, and it got heavier and heavier, dark as it could be, Steve. I'm talking about, it was a huge storm, covered the entire west, it looked like. And did that storm get, and it finally broke on top of us while we were in Sam's. I thought it was going to wash the building away from us. It was awful. Never heard it rain like it rained. And we finally got out of there. We got our shopping finished, and I got the car back close enough to the shelter there, outside Sam, where they could put the things that we picked up in the back of the car, and we began to travel on home. And got on I-20 back to where we get off on 431 going up Cheehaw Mountain. And man, all of a sudden there was just a line of automobiles and a semi truck right in my, I couldn't see them. It was raining so hard I couldn't see the truck, especially until I'd run right up on it. And I hit my brakes, and I stood up on my brakes to stop that car, and got it stopped. But the car that had pulled off there and hit the guardrail, and it had stuff scattered all of them down through. Then the state trooper was there to run the wreck, and he was flashing his lights. And we were finally able to get out from around the truck and the line of cars and started up the mountain there. But it wasn't any better going up that mountain. It was just looked like flood after flood of water coming down out of the sky. And we finally got out and got back to our destination. But that was one of the most terrifying situations that I can remember being in. And God was in it with us all the way. I kept praying and kept waiting on God as we got through the storm, got home, and praised God. I woke up through the night praising God, thinking about how close we came to being taken out of this world. And but the Lord was with us, and the Lord delivered. And He's done that time and time again. And as I said before, if He did it yesterday, folks, He'll do it today. Whatever your circumstance is, you just rest in the Lord, and He'll deliver you. And I ask you, does God's covenant work Is it any different with you and I as it was with David? No, sir. Or as it was with Abraham? No, sir. He said, no, I have made a covenant with you, and I have sworn by myself, because I could swear by no greater. In blessing, I'll bless you. And I hope you get some encouragement out of this message this morning. God bless you. Okay, Steve.